Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. Breitbart, the popular U.S. news outlet, recently reported on a statement from the American College of Pediatricians that urged healthcare providers to warn young women about the strong link between abortion and breast cancer. Now, Breitbart is helping to get the word out far and wide. I've written an article on this topic. It's published by American Right to Life. It's over at their website, americanrtl.org/cancer, and that has reached only thousands. Breitbart might be able to reach a million people. But here's what you'd learn from the article I've written for American Right to Life. The National Cancer Institute's senior researcher, Louise Brinton, probably the single person most responsible for the NCI's, the National Cancer Institute's, denial of the abortion breast cancer link, has since co-authored a journal paper in the peer-reviewed Cancer Epidemiology, describing, quote, induced abortion as, quote, associated with an increased risk for breast cancer. That's from Louise Brinton of the National Cancer Institute. That's a startling development unknown to the mainstream media, which really couldn't care less about the science of this. So between the ACP, the American College of Pediatricians, which is a conservative association of medical doctors, and the widely read Breitbart, the devastating ABC link, that is the abortion breast cancer link, is becoming more widely known. Now, since our audience isn't afraid to dig in to the science behind the news, we thought we'd ask an expert on the topic, endocrinologist Dr. Joel Brind, to join us today on Real Science Radio. Dr. Brind, it's great to speak with you again.
Great to be back. Thanks again for having me on, Bob.
Well, you're very welcome. The news out is another study confirming the link, this one led by a cancer specialist in Seattle. But before we get to that, Dr. Brind, could you help us understand the anatomy of the issue regarding abortion and breast cancer?
Well, sure. What happens is when a woman gets pregnant, her estrogen and progesterone hormones rise very rapidly. And the reason for the estrogen rise actually is not very much connected to the pregnancy. It's not essential to the pregnancy. It's essential for the development of the breast so that they can feed the baby when it's born. And so it stimulates the cells of the breast, the kinds of cells that will go on to be milk-producing structures, to get bigger. So for the first 32 weeks, a normal pregnancy, the impetus, the hormonal impetus in the breast is to make them grow, 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 grow. Mm. And then that's switched off at about 32 weeks. So that if the pregnancy is terminated anytime before 32 weeks, either by abortion or by a very premature birth, then the cells are left in a condition where they are capable of growing, but not capable of producing milk. Once they're actually what's called terminally differentiated into type 3 and type 4 lobules, then the breasts have a lower lifetime likelihood of developing cancer. So that we know, and this has been known now for many decades, that full-term pregnancy lowers a woman's long-term risk for breast cancer.
And Dr. Brind, that is acknowledged by everybody. There's no dispute on that.
Absolutely. And you don't get that protection. So in that way, according to any reasonable standard of medical ethics and informed consent, if you're going to do an intervention, and certainly abortion is an intervention, you need to compare any risk or increased risk of harm or disease due to that intervention compared to the situation if you don't do the intervention. And if you don't do the intervention, you have a baby. And if you have a baby, you have lower risk. Not only do you have lower long-term risk just from having the baby, but you also get to breastfeed the baby, which lowers your risk even further. Mm. But none of that happens, of course, if it's aborted. But even worse than that, when abortion and breast cancer are studied in a standard way in epidemiological studies, they compare women who have the abortion to women who did not have that pregnancy. So it's even worse than not having the pregnancy in the first place.
So,
because
yeah.
if you're not pregnant, you don't get the protection and you have a higher risk of breast cancer. But if you get pregnant, the stimulation for however many weeks or months that pregnancy goes of increased multiplication of those primitive structures, the type 1 and 2 lobules in the breast, leaves you with more places for cancers to start. And no surprise, the epidemiological studies, which look at the incidence of cancer among women who've had abortion and didn't have abortion, it rises. And this has been found consistently over many, many years, going back over half a century. There's a tsunami, really, of studies just in the last 7 or 8 years coming from Asia, from
yes.
China, from India, Pakistan,
and
all over the place where abortion has been exported as this wonderful means of population control. Mm. And it's millions of women are going to get breast cancer and die of breast cancer because of all those abortions.
No yeah, our cultural imperialism, as National Review published an article last week by Josh Craddock with Personhood USA, that America's primary foreign policy objective is to export abortion policy and sexual immorality, homosexuality, and so on.
Yep. But so, oh, yeah.
Dr. Brind, you are a professor of endocrinology at Baruch College in New York City. Is that right?
That's correct.
Could you tell us what an endocrinologist is? I know we could Google it, but could you?
Well, okay. Actually, when you say endocrinologist, most people think of the medical practitioners who specialize in hormones, but who are also physicians. Hmm. Then there are the PhD endocrinologists, such as myself, whose specialty is hormones, but we're basic scientists. My degree is actually in basic medical science.
Hmm.
And so that's what I've been doing. That's what I wanted to do since I was 10 years old. I wanted to work on cancer research, you know, in the laboratory. And that's basically doing research and teaching is what I always wanted to do and what I do.
Well, thank you for that work. And thank you also for being at the National Cancer Institute's conference when they rejected the abortion linked to breast cancer. You were there. You were the original dissenter. So thank you for your voice there.
Well, I was probably the original instigator. The only reason they had that conference was to shoot down the abortion breast cancer link. It was all political charade, just political theater to pretend that, oh, yes, we've done this great worldwide review and, you know, there's no evidence here, nothing to look at, move along. You know, I mean, that was all an orchestrated effort. The reason why I was able to generate enough interest in actually having this conference was because 28 congressmen at the time petitioned then-President George W. Bush to force the National Cancer Institute to have another look at it. Unfortunately, his director of the National Cancer Institute was a reliable pro-death person.
We have on Bob and Yart Live, we've pointed out that the Bush administration was really filled with pro-abortion officials and their judicial appointees reject the personhood of the unborn child. So it was really a disaster morally, the Bush years. Dr. Brind, what you just described, if I could put it in layman's terms, there are two different issues regarding pregnancy and breast cancer. One is a full-term pregnancy is actually a protective event in a woman's life regarding breast cancer. It's a positive, whereas induced abortion is a negative in that it actually increases the risk. So there's a double whammy going on.
Yes, indeed.
Now, the Breitbart article, which I was just so excited to read, is in regard to a statement put out by a pro-life organization, the American College of Pediatricians. They were bringing attention to an important recent study by a cancer specialist, Dr. Rebecca Johnson, at Seattle's Children's Hospital. Could you tell us a bit about her study, the one that she led?
Yes. Well, she led a study which actually reviewed the cancer surveillance data for the last 37 years. And they found that since the 1970s, between 1976 and 2009, right? So we're talking about 34 years. Hmm. They found an almost doubling. It went from a 1.53% to something like a 2.9% increase in the rate of women, young women, 25 to 39 year old women who had breast cancer. An increase in the rate of what they called involvement. When you have breast cancer and you have distant involvement, that means you have an advanced form of cancer that's harder to treat and much less likely to be cured. And when you're young, that's even worse, because when you're young and you still have all of those youthful hormones rather than after menopause, those hormones which stimulate breast cancers to grow, you have a more rapidly growing cancer. So the prognosis is not really good. So in other words, they looked at data that had been gathered from the National Cancer Institute. Interestingly enough, I had looked at this data also. There was a review that came out from the same database in 2001. And the authors of the study, because that was an NIH, NCI official study, they never used the A word and never talked about abortion. But it was clear in 2001 that in the last decade of the 20th century, actually between 1987 and 1998, roughly the last decade of the century, the overall rate of cancer in the United States only went up a little bit, but actually it went down in men. So it only went up in women. Hmm. Look at it a little more closely. It only went up in women in terms of breast cancer. The other cancers went down.
Wow.
Look at it a little more closely. It was only breast cancer in the Roe v. Wade generation, those women who were 25 to 40 years old in 1973. Those are the only women, and that cohort of women, the women who were exposed to legalized abortion, who were that age in this country, explained the entire increase in cancer incidence in the last decade of the 20th century.
Mm.
Now, nobody said that because the paper that you had to glean that from didn't want to acknowledge it. The difference is that Rebecca Johnson was interested in acknowledging the import of the data that she found, and yes, that abortion has probably had this devastating effect, especially in the context of all the other research that shows that abortion and breast cancer are linked. And there's a lot more of it from the rest of the world that's come out.
The rest of the world, Dr. Johnson at Seattle Children's Hospital, she specifically looked at, studies from many countries, but including China, India, Romania.
Yeah.
You and I in the past have talked specifically about some of these studies, but as you just described, here in the U.S., the overall cancer numbers would have fallen, except that because of abortion, women have kept cancer on the rise.
Right. Now, overall, I must say that overall breast cancer since then has declined because the risk due to hormone replacement therapy was revealed kind of by accident. It's a little bit off topic, not having to do with abortion, but it has to do with covering up the risks. It happened in 2002. There was a study that was started in 1999. It was supposed to go for 5 years, testing combination hormone replacement therapy, which, by the way, is the same kind of medicine as birth control pills.
Hmm.
But it's taken by older women instead of by the young women.
Is it essentially a steroid?
Yeah, they are steroids. Yes, absolutely.
They are steroids. So if a strong man, a professional athlete, takes some steroid, it's a federal case. But we're giving steroids to women by the hundreds of thousands, including young girls taking Plan B and the birth control.
Exactly.
Drug.
So you can take those sex steroid analog drugs. If they are the female type, they give them out like candy. Because if it's a female type that builds breasts and increases the risk of breast cancer, they give them out like candy. But if you take the male type that increases muscle mass, well, then you go to jail.
Right, Dr. Brind, it really is insane. Even the World Health Organization, which is not right-wing Christian pro-life, they have identified...
They have acknowledged that, absolutely, yes.
They have identified estrogen replacement and...
You see, my point
birth
really
control
was,
pills.
That is true. That is true. That's the science of it. But the worst part of it, I think, really, is the fact that this only came to light by accident. It came to light because the big national, nationwide study that had a lot of publicity on women taking the combination hormone replacement therapy pill, it was being taken because they thought it would lower the risk of heart attack. And they had to stop the study because it turned out that it was raising the risk of heart attack. That's when most women and doctors who prescribed those things to those women found out that it increases the risk of breast cancer. But dirty little secret, the researchers had known for over 20 years that it increases the risk of breast cancer.
So that women are taking this responsibly, they're responding to this information and backing off of use of including
That's
birth
right.
control pills. I mean, the World Health Organization has identified forms of birth control pills as a group one carcinogen because of the steroids.
Yes, the particular kinds of steroids. Now, I don't want to tell people who may have conditions where they need different kinds of steroids for like asthma or so on, anti-inflammatory steroids. We're talking about sex steroid drugs, androgens and estrogens and progestins, the sex steroid drug analogs that are prescribed overwhelmingly for things that are not really essential. Either they're chemical contraception because it's easier to do that way, or to prolong one's sense of the fertile years because the hormones are high, even though your ovaries are out of business. This is not healthy. It's not the natural course of thing. And one gets into trouble. You know, they say you can't fool Mother Nature. Well, you know what? You can't.
We're speaking with endocrinologist Dr. Joel Brin, professor from Baruch College in New York City. Dr. Brin, this study led by this cancer specialist at Seattle's Children's Hospital.
Rebecca Johnson study, yes.
Yes, they found that induced abortion was likely a causal, not just a correlational risk factor for the development of breast cancer. Now, Breitbart...
An eminently reasonable conclusion, yes.
Yes, and so Breitbart points out that when her study was reported, like at Yahoo News, they completely ignored the entire abortion issue. And they, in fact, they downplay this aspect of women's health risk completely.
Yeah, well, sure. The fact that it got in there at all is something. But, you know, if the authors wanted to make sure that it was mentioned, it didn't end up in the abstract of the study, which is where the main findings and conclusions are put in an easy-to-read, easy-to-access format so that, reporters can get at it. And so that's omitted from the abstract. And you see that quite a bit also where if there's any acknowledgement at all of the dangers of abortion or the dangers of anything else that's supposed to be safe, like birth control pills, you'll see it, kind of buried somewhere deep in the paper where the reporters are never going to find it anyway, even if they did want to make an issue of it. It's all politically loaded science. And of course, you have the shills like Dr. David Grimes, who is, an abortionist, an abortion promoter, an abortion enthusiast, I would call it, for many years. And just lies through his teeth about all the research. And, even in the paper that was cited at that Breitbart article, wrote a piece, one of the left-wing blogs. He actually said, some zealots even say that, quote, abortion is the single most avoidable risk factor for breast cancer, end quote. Well, guilty as charged. I am that, quote, zealot who coined that statement some years ago because it's true.
Well, thank you for that, Professor Brind. The same paper that I referenced earlier, by co-authored by Louise Brinton with the National Cancer Institute, it also hits on a topic that you just mentioned in passing, the risk from oral contraceptives. They point out, and this is, again, co-authored by Louise Brinton in Cancer Epidemiology, that there is a 300% increase in risk for women taking the birth control pill to develop something called TNBC. What is TNBC?
That's triple negative breast cancer. What that means is it's negative for three kinds of hormones that can stimulate growth. See, what happens is these hormones, as I pointed out, like estrogen and progesterone and the drugs that mimic them, these synthetic steroids that you find in birth control pills and hormone replacement therapy, they cause cancer cells, or they cause normal cells to grow, and they will also cause cancer cells to grow. Now, if the cancer cells, once they get really, really malignant, the more malignant cancer cells get, the more malignant a tumor is, the less responsive it is to hormones, and it just grows by itself.
so
without
that,
even that stimulation. The triple negative ones are the most notorious. Once you get to a triple negative breast cancer, you can't even attack it by attacking those receptors for the normal hormones. In other words, they are the kinds of cancers that are the most out of control. And yes, there is a substantial link between them and birth control pill use, the kinds of breast cancer. That's what this Rebecca Johnson's paper that you were citing a minute ago was really about, the more aggressive cancers, the cancers with distal involvement. And that would include this triple negative, because those are the kinds of cancers that do spread more rapidly and they're more lethal.
And again, this is a lead researcher also at National Cancer Institute, Louise Brinton, who wrote of this. It's actually a 320% increase in risk for women taking the birth control pill to develop triple negative breast cancer, which is a very aggressive.
She was a co-author on the paper. She did not want to highlight that risk, but she said.
Right.
So, you know, can you say talking out of both sides of one's mouth?
Exactly. You know, exactly. So, you know, Dr. Brind, the Huffington Post, we've been in there. They published a debate I had on marijuana in the Huffington Post. And recently they did an article pretty much mocking our list of all the liberal leaders and organizations calling for infanticide to be decriminalized. We have an article on that at AmericanRightsAlive.org/infanticide. So the Huffington Post mocks that list of Richard Dawkins and the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists and the Journal of Medical Ethics, and around the world, liberals calling for the legalization of infanticide of all things. So the Huffington Post made fun of that list in my article there, but they also in February had a column by a pro-abortion Dr. David Grimes.
Yes.
And he was mocking really your bumper sticker.
Exactly.
So could you tell us about that? He was making fun of anyone.
Well, he just basically told a whole pack of lies. I wrote an article about this in the National Right to Life News about him. And, I mean, he just, you know, lies like a rug, you know, talking about how there really isn't any link and there isn't any evidence. And he trots out this old canard about so-called reporting bias. What they say is, they say, well, you know, women, because it's such a stigmatizing subject, tend to deny that they've had abortion. And if you're doing an epidemiological study, and it's based on retrospective methods, which means you're going back, you're looking back at women's history with women via questionnaires and or interviews. And when you do that, women are reluctant to admit that they've had abortion. And what they found, though, is that they say is that if you've had a breast cancer diagnosed,
you're more honest.
Yes, you're more honest about it.
Forthcoming, because you realize your life is at stake.
Yes. And so when you use studies that are based on medical records that are not dependent upon women's recall of their medical history, you don't find a link. Well, that's only because those prospective studies are completely flawed in many other ways, which I don't want to get into. But I thought the most often cited study on that, and the largest and supposedly most comprehensive study, was published in Denmark in 1997. It was actually published here, but it was on every woman born in Denmark between 1935 and 1970, a huge study, over 1.5 million women and over 10,000 cases of breast cancer and over 400,000 abortions, and it found no increase. Gee whiz, wow, that must be really an accurate study. I love the way the New York Times editorial talked about this study when they said that it proved that there really isn't a link and it's just this so-called response bias. The way they explained it is they said the problem with most of these studies that found the link is that they depended upon women to tell the truth.
So
the New York Times mocking the naivete of any researcher who might actually count on women to tell the truth, God forbid. And the New York Times can get away with that.
The war on women, right? The real war on women. Brind, Breitbart reported on this, and Grimes claimed that it's a reporting bias. They talked to a Dr. Jane Anderson, who's a pediatrician.
She's with the Pediatrician's College,
And she pointed out that in the very study that Grimes was using in his article in the Huffington Post, that very study, the researchers reported no statistically significant difference in reporting and responses of women with and without breast cancer regarding acknowledgement of abortion.
It's even more interesting than that. The only evidence goes back to a Swedish study that was published in 1991. And they say that they got statistically significant evidence of reporting bias, but that's only when they found that there were 7 Swedish breast cancer patients and 1 healthy woman who had reported having an abortion during the study period, and the computer had no record of it. So they said, oh, well, the computer says you didn't have one. You didn't have one. You over-reported it. Mm. In other words, they say they had a statistically significant finding, but it required one to believe that women who have breast cancer make up abortions that they never had because the computer has no record of it. P.S., 7 years later, 1998, the authors of that Swedish study retracted the claim of over-reporting, acknowledging that these women did have abortions, but they weren't on record.
Wow.
And so it was all phony, and that's the only direct evidence of any reporting bias, and many studies have shown that there isn't any reporting bias in abortion breast cancer research, but it's really the recent data that blows it out of the water. You see, when you get a 30, 40, 50, 60% increase in the risk of breast cancer, that sounds like a lot, but in fact, it's really at the borderline of detectability by epidemiological studies. And so you can sort of explain it away or try to explain it away with reporting bias or some other kind of bias. Mm. But when you get 10 times the risk, 5 times the risk, 20 times the risk, then forget it. You're talking about something that's real. Well, that's what's coming out of India and Pakistan. Because unlike in the United States and the rest of the Western industrialized world, where women can get breast cancer for a whole lot of reasons, and they might have a 10% lifetime risk of getting breast cancer even if they don't have an abortion, and maybe if they have an abortion, it goes up to 13 or 15% lifetime risk. But if you go to a place like India, where India and Pakistan, there's no reason for women to get breast cancer. These are women who, they got married as teenagers. They started having kids away. They had a lot of kids. They breastfeed all of them. They don't drink. They don't smoke. They don't do anything else that's going to give them breast cancer. So if they start having abortions, then that really sticks out like a sore thumb. And their baseline risk, instead of being 10%, going up to 13 or 15%, they're starting out with 0.5% risk, 1% risk. And now it's going up to 5%.
And isn't that the case in Japan also, where I was debating a liberal who argued that Japan had very high incidence of abortion, but very low breast cancer rates.
Yes,
so therefore,
right.
Abortion could not be a breast cancer factor.
Right.
And I got the answer from you years ago. Could you explain how that person was confused?
And actually, I gave that answer when I had a little debate when I was presenting my data in Canada back, I think it was in 1999. The last year of Bella Abzug. Remember Bella Abzug?
That's
a big bully of a communist congressman that we had from New York.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Bella Abzug had founded this women's organization, which had an international cancer conference. And at the first one, again, it was the last year of her life, she was actually in the audience when I gave my talk. And she asked me that question, and she said, well, Dr. Brin, maybe you can answer this. Japan has had a high rate of abortion for many years, and yet it has a much lower rate of breast cancer. Well, how do you explain that? As I explained, I said you have to compare apples to apples, that yes, they have a lower risk of breast cancer than American women, but among women who have an abortion, it's twice as high as Japanese women who don't have an abortion. So if the Japanese women who don't have an abortion have a 2% lifetime risk and they have an abortion, it doubles. It goes up to 4%.
So that
it's
when
still
you
less
compare
than 10%.
Right, because the Japanese cases of breast cancer are far fewer than U.S. cases.
But you have to compare Japanese women to Japanese women. And
exactly.
I thought it was a very good presentation, if I say so myself. I thought I handled her question rather deftly, if I say so myself. And guess what?
What?
When the audio tapes of all the presentations became available,
that was excluded.
Well, it wasn't excluded. It was, they don't know what happened. It got mysteriously lost.
Yeah, that's
something happened. They don't know what,
That's happened a number of times.
You know
Dr. Brin, go ahead.
I suppose Bella Abzug would think that her women's organization would come out, and present evidence supporting the abortion breast cancer link over her dead body. But you know what? Even though she did die, it still didn't come out.
So these studies showing the link have been from around the world, France and China, nation after nation.
Goes on and on and on.
And dozens of studies showing the link.
Many dozens, yes.
And the link, the rise in breast cancer is of women of childbearing age tied to the time when that nation, that culture, adopted abortion.
Yep, pretty much. The National Cancer Institute came out with a paper in 2008, for example, saying, oh, China's on the cusp of a breast cancer epidemic, and gee whiz, gosh golly, we don't know why. Must be, you know, lifestyle factors and, you know, unquestionably their economic
global warming.
Changes.
It's either global warming or
they didn't mention
Bush.
Global warming, but of course they wouldn't mention abortion. But, no. It's, you know, I mean, it's the one-child policy that kicked in 1980, and you could see breast cancer taking off.
So, Dr. Brent,
and you've got over a billion women in China and India alone. We're talking about tens of millions of women getting breast cancer because they had an abortion.
Wow.
And millions of women dying from it over the next several decades.
Yeah, and we have here in Colorado, like, I'll give you a talk show host name, Dan Kaplis. He's conservative, Catholic, pro-life, absolutely refuses to consider that there might be a link because he's looked it up on Wikipedia. And so we've tried so hard to reach even the so-called conservatives in the media. But Dr. Brin, we only have another couple minutes. At Colorado Right to Life, we did meet with the local officials of the Komen Race for the Cure.
Right.
And
yes.
They, of course, Komen supports Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is the nation's number one abortion provider. And so Komen is stabbing in the back the women who are at risk of breast cancer by actually giving money to the organization that is helped to lead to this increase in cancer.
So that, yes, they are a bona fide breast cancer charity. They actually help to promote breast cancer. Mm. Isn't that nice?
And you might know the name of the president of American Right to Life, Leslie Hanks. Leslie and I put out a press release on this issue, and we've got a photo of the connection, the link between abortion and breast cancer in Times Square in New York City. You're there right now. In New York City, on the Jumbotron, the connection and the research showing the link between abortion and breast cancer. We've done what we have been able to do, Dr. Brin, but pretty much we're just getting out your information and the information of many other researchers and experts. But thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, it's not everybody's politically correct around the world, but it's just amazing. The talk about cultural imperialism. I mean, there's so many things, right? From, you know, even the environmentalists, even before the global warming craze, you know, just the environmentalists are the ones who forced an international ban on DDT. Mm. And the World Health Organization now acknowledge that millions
malaria.
Of children
yeah.
malaria have died from malaria.
Right.
Now they're letting them use DDT again. Isn't that wonderful? Now I call it imperialism because malaria was endemic in the United States.
Right.
And DDT to wipe it out, but the rest of the world, no. You just drop dead like flies.
Dr. Brin, we were on the verge of eradicating malaria, and this suffering is because of this political correctness.
Yes.
All right. Well, there are other resources available and links to Dr. Joel Brin's research.
Oh, yes.
At AmericanRightToLife.org/cancer. And is there another website you'd like to mention?
Yes, I would encourage people to go to our own Breast Cancer Prevention Institute website. That's www.bcpinstitute.org. That stands for Breast Cancer Prevention Institute, bcpinstitute.org.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Joel Brin. What an honor to have you back on Real Science Radio.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks again for having me.
You're very welcome. So our website, realscienceradio.com or rsr.org, the shortcut. And if you're interested in sharing this important show with others, just go to rsr.org/breastcancer and you'll find it and you could forward that to others. May God bless you.